I tell you what, I was telling somebody earlier today, I said, because I've had many people ask, did you have a knee replacement? And I said, no, I didn't have a knee replacement. But the thing about having a knee replacement, I said, I'd have probably healed up faster having a knee replacement than what they did to me. But we're doing good, and we're thankful and are healing up, and thankful for that. Do thank you again. I can't stress enough. Thank you for praying for me and dealing with all this crazy stuff. But it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Open your Bibles tonight, please. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. While you're turning there, I just want to say thank you on behalf of my family and I for just truly all your gifts and just your love towards us this Christmas season. And we are honored. And I mean that. I hope I articulate it the way my heart feels it. We're honored and privileged to be your pastor and thankful to God for what the Lord has done. We've been blessed today, church. We really have. We've been blessed today. Brother Stephen called me and shared that news about leading that couple to Christ. Man, what a great day. Baptism, and got to baptize like old-fashioned time. Had to break the ice and the water up there today to get them baptized. And then Brother Paul, you text me and said had three folks profess faith in Christ during the Christmas party. And so that's five people that profess faith in Christ today. And we thank God for that. Amen. Absolutely, man. What a blessing. What a joy. And you pray for us as we'll be no doubt talking to these about baptism and becoming part of the local New Testament church where they can be taught the Word of God and can be discipled. And we are forever amazed at how God blesses and how the Lord answers prayer and how the Lord saves people and changes people's lives. Miss Rhonda and Callie, where'd you guys go? In the nursery. That was awesome. Man, that was fantastic. They did a great job. I'm confident that Brother Bill had been working with them to get their harmonies down. The funny story about Brother Bill and harmonies, we were at the Christmas banquet. This is a true story. We was at the Christmas banquet a couple weeks back. And I don't know who it was that was singing. I think the trio was singing, you, Brian, and Rebecca's husband, Andrew. Yeah, that's what you're known as. That's now Rebecca's husband. And they were singing. And as they were singing, of course, my wife and I were sitting at the table and Brother Bill and Miss Bonnie. And all of a sudden, I hear harmony out of my right ear. And at first, I thought to myself, that is Bill Weir. Bill Weir is harmonizing. Well, I turned and looked, and if he was harmonizing, he was doing it without his mouth opening. It ended up being Miss Bonnie that I was hearing, but I laughed. I teased him. I said, brother, I honestly truly thought that was you. And immediately he grabbed his chest. He thought he was having a heart attack from that. But Proverbs chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We are going to continue our study. We've looked now quite a while. We've looked at several sermons dealing with wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom. And if there's ever in my life something that has really captured my heart as far as my prayer life is praying daily. Hi, Lynn. I didn't see you there. Good to have Lynn with us tonight. Daily praying that God would give wisdom, his heavenly wisdom, in our lives. We need it. We cannot afford, and I think that's the best way to say it, we cannot afford in our lives to make any decision without the wisdom of God being given in our lives before we make that decision. So we need to pray for that. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of springboard off of that and continue this here in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at a lot of verses of Scripture tonight, but we'll read just a couple of verses here. Just for context, let's start in verse 1. We've preached through most of these verses, but again, let's just kind of look at the context of what we're dealing with. The key word of the book of Proverbs is the word wisdom, so that helps you as you study throughout these verses of Scripture. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear. Notice the response of a wise man. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Of course, we told you that doesn't mean just to hear with your two ears and take in noise, if you will, into your eardrums. It's not what he's saying there. It's more than that. It means to take it in with the intention of obeying it and living by what you have been taught and learned from the Word of God. So that's kind of where Solomon is writing about here. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Look at verse 7. And here's what Solomon's going to do now, and he'll do this throughout the book, the whole entirety of the book of Proverbs. He will teach us by showing us opposites. And I love this style of teaching. I've been learning this now. He will teach us by showing the opposite. And he's going to do that right away in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But now look at the opposite of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You could even say wisdom there. He's talked about that in the first 6 verses. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask, Lord Jesus, indeed, help us to love you more. And God, help us to be grateful and thankful and appreciative, Lord, for what you do in our life. And Father, we acknowledge and we praise your holy name. What a day, God, in your house today. What a joy to see such a tremendous crowd, Lord, to see 3 folks through public profession of their faith, through baptism. God, what a joy it is to see that, to hear of the ones, the 5 folks, Lord Jesus, that were said to have called upon you today in salvation. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the tender hearts of our soul winners in our church that, Lord, that through the sermon that you give to keep their fingers on the spiritual pulse of our church, to be able to take time and opportunity to share the gospel so that people can come to know you as Savior. Bless now, Lord God, as we look in your word. We know, Lord, that we're going to look at some tough verses, but Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and his presence that is in our midst, even as we acknowledge his presence here tonight. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that everything said and done will give you glory. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit, once again, as we pray, not to be cliche, but God, to acknowledge that we need it, we ask, God, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher tonight, that he will be our guide tonight, that he will illuminate your word to us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Solomon, right away, he's going to teach us by looking at the opposites of something. He's talked about the wise man, and he's talked much about a person that attains this wisdom. Now, we know, we've been giving you definition of wisdom, that wisdom is simply knowing what to do and when to do it. But we also gave you, and hopefully you have been chewing on the thought that the wisdom that we're talking about is the wisdom that God, that only God can give. The wisdom that James says, as we'll look in a few moments out of James chapter 3, the wisdom that is from above. It's opposite. If you, again, learning by looking at opposites of things, the wisdom that is from above versus the wisdom that is man's wisdom or earthly wisdom. Paul talked about that to the church at Corinth, as we've noted. And also, as we'll see, James talks about what man's wisdom looks like versus what God's wisdom looks like. So tonight, by comparison, we're going to look at the wise man and the foolish man. Now, by man, you could interject male, female, it doesn't matter, but the wise individual, the foolish individual, from by standpoint of the Word of God, because God's Word has much to say about wise people and has much to say about foolish people. Now, when you look at this, you say, well, preacher, surely there's none of us that are foolish here. Well, I hope that we're not. And I say even to the child of God that it would do us well to understand that God so wants to transform your life and infuse your life with his word that we indeed in turn then, by him doing that, that we will be great ambassadors for the cause of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us, and the Bible supports through Scripture in the New Testament, even says that those that know Jesus as their Savior, they are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What a tremendous picture. What an opportunity. But might I add, it's not only an opportunity that we have as an ambassador, it is also a very great responsibility that we have. With privilege of being an ambassador for Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. That's what an ambassador is. He's a representative of a country. He goes to other countries. And we that have been born again, we indeed are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, as Paul said, is in heaven. So what a joy, what a blessing. I've often told you the next time you go up to cross the bridge and to go to Canada or whatever, and they ask you, and it's been a long time since I've done this, but they ask what country, what's your citizenship? The next time they ask you that, just look at them right in the eye and say, heaven. But be prepared to be pulled over and go into that little room. But you would be biblically accurate to say that if you're born again. But I don't necessarily suggest you use that verse of scripture, if you will, in crossing into another country. But the wise man and the foolish man. So what does the Bible has to say? What does the Bible have to say, excuse me, about the wise man and the foolish man? If Solomon, of course, the majority writer of the Proverbs is believed, indeed that he is, and we don't believe any otherwise. But if Solomon is going to give us and show us by opposites, well, let's look at some of the characteristics real quick, if you will, of the wise individual, the wise man, the person that has, the man or woman who has this God wisdom, this wisdom that comes from God that is heavenly, this heavenly wisdom for everyday life, if you will. What are some of the characteristics? Well, we've given you, in the context of these verses, the wise man, the wise individual, fears the Lord. The Bible tells us again in verse 7, just for reference point, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Of course, in its context, that's indeed, it's wise to fear the Lord. He is worthy to be feared. Now you say, preacher, why is that? Well, one definition of the word fear means terror. But another definition, I really like the definition, it indicates it's a picture word that invokes worship. It's a word that, as we just kind of studied some thoughts out and wrote some thoughts down, it pictures one that is worshiping someone who is worthy of our worship. We are worshiping someone who is superior to us. And may I remind you, the Lord God Jehovah is worthy of our worship. Amen? He's worthy of our worship. Worship, by definition, we gave it a couple years back, means to ascribe honor, worth, value to God alone. He is worthy of our worship. He's not only our creator, he is, and we celebrate Christmas season, he is our savior. If you've been born again, if you've repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, he indeed has born you again. And as a result of that, he is worthy of your worship. So what are some of the characteristics? Well, let's just kind of do a walk through the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the ways that this wisdom that the wise individual, if they were to be considered a wise individual, if you and I, and write out of Scripture, if you and I are to be considered a wise individual from the Word of God's perspective, there'll be several thoughts. And we're just going to let the verses speak for themselves, and you can make application as you read and as you see these things. So, what will happen if I fear the Lord? Well, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord, look at this, I love this verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The froward mouth is those that are perverse. So Solomon writes, he says, here's one way that fearing the Lord, that's evident that you have wisdom in you. Solomon goes on in the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, he puts it at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, another book that Solomon wrote. And he says that, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's going to sum up his entirety of the book of Ecclesiastes, where he's discussed the matter of life. When he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, he's talking about the matter of life. And then he speaks into this. He's going to sum it up. He's going to give a summary, if you will, of all that he's previously talked about in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, here it is. Here's the summation. Here is the purpose statement, if you will. Here it is. What is it? You say, what is it? Well, the Bible tells, Solomon says, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God, he says, and keep his commandments. He said, this is the whole duty of man. You see, Solomon had lived a long life. He knew. He had made a lot of mistakes, yes. He made a lot of bad choices. But what a joy to see that this wisdom that is from above, it has an opportunity and it should teach us and should lead us, verse 13 of chapter 8, to hate evil. Do you hate evil tonight? I hope that we do. I told my wife, I said, one of the things that I love, and I've just been praying for some things and
me and her talk a lot. If you saw my Facebook post, we talk every day. We really do. We dialogue daily is one of our things. We date weekly. We depart quarterly or semi-annually if we can, just for a day or what have you. But the point is, as we were talking, I said, you know, one of the things I love about the Lord is I said, in my prayer life, I've been praying, just letting you in my life for a minute, I said, I've been praying for God's wisdom in my life. I said, but one of the things that God's been doing is God has been through his grace, he's been pointing and putting his finger on areas of my life that aren't necessarily wise choices throughout my life. And I'm grateful to God for that. I really am. I'm grateful that God has been speaking into my life about that. So one of the things I pray and should be our prayer is that we will hate evil, that we'll hate pride, that we'll hate arrogancy. I do not ever want to be accused of being an arrogant individual. There's nothing to be arrogant about. Amen. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. And what else? Well, look at chapter 9 of Proverbs. We'll look at a lot of verses. Chapter 9, look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord, I love this, is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When he says the knowledge of the Holy, he's talking about the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One. You see, if you and I, if we are gonna have wisdom that God wants us to have, it begins, it has to begin with fearing the Lord. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm saved. Why in the world would I fear God now? I mean, I'm not going to die and go to hell when I die. No, you're right. Thank God that you won't. Amen. Thank God, thank the Lord Jesus that you will not die and go to hell. If you've been born again, you are indeed, you're sealed into the day of redemption, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30. But what you say, yeah, but preacher, I'm not gonna die and go to hell, so what do I have to fear? Well, I hope you'll get a hold of this. I don't know the reference off the top of my head. It's in one of the writings of the Apostle Paul, maybe to the church at Corinth, where he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us in this room that are born again, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, or the judgment seat, or the reward seat, if you will, of the Lord. And he's going to examine our life. Wow. I tell you what, that ought to make you fear tonight. That ought to make you really take in consideration where we're at as a believer in Christ. Our works are going to be put to the test, and our it's going to be examined. So Solomon, in verse 10 again, he said, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, Holy, Holy One, is understanding. Look at verse 27 of chapter 10 of Proverbs. What else does it do? What else does this fear of the Lord do? One of the characteristics of the wise individual, they fear the Lord, and in fearing the Lord, here's what it will do for you. Chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Boy, I tell you what a blessing to have confidence in the Lord Jesus. If there's anyone we can have confidence in, it should be the Lord God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And if we're not careful, and I say this, listen, I'm preaching this to preacher tonight. If we're not careful, we can get our eyes so focused on circumstances that we'll lose confidence in our Savior. But the Bible tells us, the fear of the Lord there, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of the devil. Literally, what a joy. What a joy to know. Fear of the Lord, it's a fountain of life. And it gives us that ability to depart from the snares of death. Excuse me. Look at chapter 16. Look at chapter 16, verse 6. You say, man, we're looking at a lot of verses tonight. Yeah, but I kept you in the same book. Be thankful for that. I could have took you to the book of Habakkuk. It might have took us a while to find that. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, look at this next statement. Men depart evil. By fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is a motivator, boys and girls. It's a motivator to live for God. It's a motivator to not sin. God's people say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, as a believer in Jesus, I mean, John even talked about that we sometimes sin. Yes, he did talk about it. But if you read John's letter, the book of 1 John, if you read that letter, and if you've been in Sunday school in the last year or so, last year about we went through 1 John, didn't we, Brother Steve? About the last year, 6 months ago maybe. If you read 1 John, said, you know, he said, I write that you sin not. That's what John says. He said, I write, little children, I write that you sin not. He said, but if we do sin, paraphrase, he said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So John was writing his letter to prevent sin. Well, as a believer in Jesus, if we have that fear of the Lord that the Bible tells us that we are to have, it's going to allow us to hate evil. It's going to allow us to hate pride and arrogancy. They can creep into our lives so quick if we're not careful. So he wants us to get a hold of this stuff. By the fear of the Lord, again, verse 6, men depart from evil. Look at chapter 22. Let's turn over now to chapter 22. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight. Look at verse 4. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility, verse 4 of Proverbs 22, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 17. Boy, this is a good admonition here. This is a good word. Verse 17 of Proverbs 23. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Boy, that's a good statement. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Man, that's a good statement. Those are good words right there. So Solomon, he wants us to understand what the wise man looks like. A wise man is going to fear the Lord, but now we're going to look at the foolish individual. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the foolish person. What is a fool? If the Bible told us in Proverbs 1, you know, a wise man, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He says another verse that we read, it's the beginning of wisdom. It's a starting point for wisdom and knowledge is to fear God. But then he says, but fools, look at verse 1, because I want you to see this. We're actually going to look at it again in a minute. Back in chapter 1 of verse 7, Proverbs 1, 7, just flip back a few pages. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but here's the opposite. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what are some characteristics of the foolish individual? Well, I love this one, and we're going to look at a lot of verses about this one. Go to chapter 10 for a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. A foolish person is known, first of all, as we'll see throughout Proverbs, they're often known by their love for speaking, their love for talking. In Proverbs 10, verse 8, the Bible says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The word prating there, it means babbling. By definition, it means to talk much and without weight or to little purpose. It means to be talkative. Never shuts up. One that talks too much with little or no meaning. I said Wednesday night that it's not an accident that God has given every human being on the face of the planet. He's given us two ears and one mouth, right? Two ears and one mouth. It would do us well sometimes just to listen. So he loved the foolish individual. They love to talk a lot. Look at chapter 14 of Proverbs. It's not that they're talking a lot as much as what they're saying, it has no weight, it has no substance, it has no value, it's just babble. The word prating, as we looked at a moment ago, it's that just babbling on and on and on and on and on. They've always got something to say about everything the foolish person does. That's one of the way they it's a characteristic of that. Chapter 14, verse 33, I believe it is. Proverbs 14, 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. One of the characteristics of a foolish individual is they cannot and will not keep a secret. They've got to tell what they hear. And they don't care. That one of the characteristics of that is the evidence that they do not have wisdom, because if they had wisdom, they wouldn't want to repeat what has been repeated. You know, the Bible speaks much about gossip in the New Testament. Well, the foolish individual loves that type of stuff. They love the gossip. They love to tear people down. I was taught as a child that what's the thing we were taught as a child? You know, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. And I think sometimes, as a born again believer in Jesus, it would do us well to pray for wisdom in our speaking, that God would give us wisdom in how we talk and how we communicate and what we say. I was also taught that when it comes to gossip, and here's just some little thoughts on that, thoughts on gossip. People that gossip to you, hear my heart, people that gossip to you will gossip about you. You know that, right? You say, I tell you what, preacher, I just can't believe people always want to come. They always want to come to me and tell me gossip. You know why they want to do that? Because you entertain it. Because you allow it. My instruction and counsel of the years has been that if somebody wants to come and gossip and say things and spread rumors and lies and all that, the one way of stopping them is say, hey, I tell you what, rather than us gossiping about it, let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for that individual. You know, I tell you what, you know, I know you have taught, maybe you were taught as a child, and it's absolutely a lie from hell, but you were taught maybe growing up that the phrase sticks and stones, remember that? Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. That's not true. There's a lot of people that have been hurt by words and by talking and people, you know, saying things that they shouldn't. Look at chapter 18. The foolish individual loves to talk. In Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth, Proverbs 18, 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The word folly, as we'll see in a moment, it's a word. It's almost a word that just means it's stupid to do that. I know that we have a lot of kids in here, and we're not supposed to say that word. Well, that's the Lord Jesus. He wants us to know that, hey, it's foolish to talk and to give your opinion and give your thoughts and speak much about something when you don't have all the details and you don't have all the facts. That's dangerous to do that. And I will tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, and we'll see it in the book of James in a moment, when it comes to foolishness, and one of the characteristics, and I purposely chose this one first, that this talking, the foolish individual loves to talk, and they love to voice their opinion. They love to talk about things. They don't even have all the details about it. You know, my little grandmother, I loved her with all my heart. She was so funny. And I remember growing up, she would say something like this. She was from Eastern Kentucky, and she'd get something on her heart, and man, she just wanted to tell you, or she would die. And I remember every now and then she'd look at you and she'd say something like this. She'd say, honey, that's what she'd call. She said, honey, I'd tell you something if I knowed you wouldn't tell it. That's what she'd say. And before you could even say, well, Grandma, she'd say, well, I reckon so-and-so and this and that. I'm like, okay. Well, my granddaddy, she was on the telephone one day, and my little grandfather, he was a Baptist preacher, and we come in the house one day, and my grandma, man, she's mad. She's mad as a wet hen. She's just sitting there, and she's patting her foot. She's got that scowl. And we looked at her, and we said, hey, Big Rose, what's the matter? She said, Ed said I was possessed. He said the devil had me. So what did you do? We left, man. We got out of there. We made sure we got out of there. We just kind of laughed about it. You know, but the thing is, the devil, if we're not careful, the devil, even to the most dedicated believer in Jesus, the follower of Christ that has the heart and the passion to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, boy, the devil can use us and we don't even realize it. And he can use us by our foolish talking, things that we say. You say, well, preacher, have you ever done that? Have you ever gossiped? Yes, I have, and I'm ashamed of that. Preacher, have you ever said things you shouldn't say? Yes, I have, and I promise you, there's been times that I've said something, and I've purposely gone to the individual and said, listen, please forgive me. I should have never done that. Not too long ago, I had a situation, and it was somebody real close to me in church, and I made a statement to him, and he got home later that night, and I called him and said, hey, brother, I want you to forgive me for this. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I shouldn't have said this. And it involved a situation. I said, well, I shouldn't have said that. He said, preacher, why are you telling us that? I'm telling you that for this reason. As your pastor, the devil sometimes can trip me up and cause things and do things. I'm not blaming him for everything that happens in my life that I do that is wrong. But my point is, if we're not careful, we can be deceived and our talking can really be foolish if we're not careful. We just have to be careful about that. So he talks about that in chapter 18. Look at chapter 23. Chapter 23 of Proverbs. I'm jumping all around. I don't think I went in order here, but that's okay. The next Bible sword drill, you'll probably win because we've been doing all these verses tonight. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Proverbs 23, verse 9. 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Wow. He will despise the wisdom of thy words. A foolish individual, one of the things about a foolish individual, they could care less about the truth. They could care less about, you know, it hurting someone. That's why, and I've often said, in a local New Testament church, we have to be very careful because Satan doesn't all. Now, sometimes it happens, and tragically, sadly, horrifically, sometimes it happens that churches are destroyed with horrific sins and open sins and all that. But it's my observance over the years in ministry. My observance, it's often not the biggies, if you will, if you want to use the proverbial big sins that destroy churches. It's often the quote unquote little things that we think don't matter, that do not matter and really aren't really significant that can destroy a church. And one of the things, I promise you, I love you with all my heart, one of the things that can destroy churches is when members of the church begin to talk about each other and backbite one another and talk bad about one another. If you hear nothing else, hear this statement. If we have nothing good to say about someone, it's better that we keep our mouth shut and don't say something that we're going to regret, or we do not say something that's going to be hurtful and cause harm to that individual. I've said to you for years, if there's one thing that I passionately desire before my God, and God knows my heart, I'm not going to say that. That's not needed. But if there's one thing I passionately desire in my life, is to be somebody that encourages people, somebody that pours courage in. I was talking to Cameron about this yesterday. I said, you know, as boys, I said, we have an opportunity to be encouragers and pour courage into people and love on them and let them know, hey, I want to pour courage into you. I don't want to pull, you know, remember what, I've used this 100 times. You probably could give it better illustrated than I can sometimes, but a difference between encourager and discourager. An encourager pours courage into people. A discouragement, if someone is discouraged, it's because someone or something has pulled courage out of them. Would to God none of us become discouragers. Life is too short, man, to be a discourager. You say, yeah, but preacher, no. We would do good just to learn a simple principle. Be a wise individual that has the wisdom of God in their life and have enough wisdom in your heart and in your life. And here's another thing, a willingness to obey what God shows you that will keep you from saying something that's going to hurt people. Man, I tell you, I intentionally, God is my witness, I do not ever want to intentionally hurt anyone. And that's why I've said to you as your pastor, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, some of you, and I know you, many of you have come from other churches, some have come from other churches where, pastors were mean. And I, listen, let me just speak on this for a minute. I'm saying this as a pastor, okay? So I'm saying it on the authority as a pastor. Pastors can be some of the stupidest people you've ever met in your life when it comes from the pulpit. Amen, preacher. They use the pulpit, as my granddaddy said, they often use the pulpit as a whipping post of people rather than to pour encouragement. Now, that doesn't mean, as a preacher, you don't preach on hard topics and you don't preach on subjects. No, you preach what the Word of God has. But I made a promise to you almost 13 years ago, that if I have a problem with you, biblically, I am to come to you, according to Matthew 18, and try to resolve that issue. I am never to get in the pulpit if I have something against you and rip you to shreds and do a character assassination of your life. That is foolishness, and at best, what that shows, it shows the insecure leadership that pastor has. Very insecure individual. So, that was free. I didn't even have that in my notes tonight, but I hope that encourages you. You said, preacher, what's the significance? Well, a foolish individual, they love to talk. They love to talk about people. They love to spread gossip. Look at chapter 12, Proverbs 12. Simple verse. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You say, yeah, pastor. No, listen. Here's what else I've learned. And just simple, my own personal life. Here's what else I've learned in life. When it comes to, you can fill in the blank. You know, I've dealt with, in ministry, you can imagine things we've dealt with in ministry. Dealing with different relationships, dealing with marital relationships, dealing with parental relationships, dealing with, you know, other, you know, people that have come from other churches where pastors were mean and that kind of stuff. And the Lord knows my heart in this. I've often tried to let them know, listen, if you can take things, take problems. I just said this to somebody the other day. Take problems that you have to your prayer closet and tell God about it. Because God can do, I promise you, friend, God can do a far greater job about that problem that you have than you and I can running around telling everybody else about that problem. You know, Jesus said we're to come to him. Jesus said we're to pray to him. Jesus said we're to tell him all about it. But what do we do? What do we do? We tell everybody but God. And we get people on our side. Listen, God can do a far greater job with that husband than you can. God can do a far greater job on that wife that you have than you can. God can do a far greater job with those kids or the situations or the other relationships, issues in your family or your home. God can do a far greater job of doing things and working than you and I ever could imagine. You say, yeah, but pastor, just something about me. I just want to say something. Well, be careful. Be very careful because what the Bible says, the heart, it speaks of the heart. And we got to be careful what we say because what we say, guess what? What we say often reveals what is in our heart. Don't ever forget that. What we say, you'll be surprised at things people say. I've had people over the years, man, I've had them call and cuss my voicemail. I'm thinking, why did I put my voice on the voicemail? I should have put somebody else's voice on the voicemail. He said, but pastor, well, what did you do about that? I just let it go. I had a guy, we were driving the other day, I was driving on 75, and a guy pulled up next to me and got real mad. My father-in-law, my wife's with him, and this guy's looking at me. And my wife said, yeah, later on, my wife said, yeah, he actually flipped you off, but I wasn't going to tell you that he did that. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, why? People just, I don't know, people are just crazy. And they just need the Lord Jesus. But you said, preacher, what's the point? Well, look at chapter 29, and I'll end with these verses on this very first point, and then we'll go to James. A couple minutes, and we'll be done. Proverbs 29. More teaching, if you will. More teaching tonight than as far as wild preaching, if you will, but I hope it'll help you. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it. Proverbs 29:11. You're still turning. That's okay. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Be careful. Be careful about what you say and what you do and how you talk and things. The foolish individual loves to talk. Now go to James and we'll just say a couple thoughts on this and we'll give an invitation. From the bottom of my heart, these messages on the wisdom that we're talking about, not because I'm preaching it. God, I mean that. The Lord knows my heart in this. Not because I'm preaching it. But it may be some of the most practical and helpful sermons in our church as your pastor since I've been here. Because it deals with the practical aspects of life and it deals with the understanding that we need God's help in every area of our life. And it would do us well to pray for wisdom. James, in James chapter 1, he told us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Remember that? If any man lack, the word lack means destitute. We're destitute of God's wisdom. We do not have it. We can't conjure it up. We can't get educated enough in our world to get this kind of wisdom. No. We have to acknowledge that we do not have it. We then have to ask for it. We have to ask God for it. Excuse me. And then we have to, in faith, we have to ask in faith. We do that, and the Lord will do it. The Lord will give it to us. And let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. You don't have to answer out loud. If I were to ask you right now, are there areas of your life that you need the supernatural, heaven-sent wisdom of God? Are there any areas right now in your life that you need that? I think it's fair to say that every single one of us could raise our hand with that question, that we need his wisdom. Well, I promise you, sweet friend, our God loves to give wisdom. He loves to give it. He loves to answer prayer. He is a God. You say, yeah, but I'm not Solomon. That's okay. You don't have to be Solomon to get the same kind of wisdom that God gave Solomon. He'll give that to you. You say, yeah, but preacher, I've been a husband all these years. Well, maybe you'll be a better husband going forward with this wisdom that God gives, or a better wife with this wisdom that God gives, or a better child, young adult, teenager, college kid, senior adult, middle-aged. This God's wisdom is so valuable. So let's look at the opposite. We're going to look at the opposite now. You see this, another aspect of a fool. A fool is known by his love for talking, but also a fool is fool's love for himself. A foolish individual loves himself. He's self-centered. He has ego. One definition of ego, I love this. If you take the word ego, if you just kind of do an acrostic or whatever it's called, and you write it out, E-G-O, it stands for edging God out. I like that. Edging God out. So we come to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? James 3:13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife, literally the word strife, in your hearts and glory, the word strife and the word glory, it speaks of self-seeking, boastfulness. You know, people that are self-seeking, they have self-seeking ambition, that self-centeredness. It's all about them. But you know my heart, the church is not about us. It's about the Lord. It's his church, and we should seek his will for it. But this self-centeredness, a fool is their love of for speaking, talking, but their love for themselves. They are the center of their own universe, those types of people. He goes on in verse 15. He says in verse 14, lie not against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He's talking in the context of a local assembly. Those that have that, you know, that they claim to be wise, but they have that self-seeking desire, you know, they want to, they've got to have a following, and they've got to have this, and got to have that. Well, James speaks into this, and he says, listen, they may claim to have wisdom, but they are absolute. The wisdom that they have is man's wisdom. It doesn't come from God. It's self-centered. It's a wisdom that's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And I've told you this, but that means, the word devilish means it's demonic. It has demonic origin. You say, oh, preacher, are you saying, I mean, that is it that big of a deal in a local church that, you know, that churches, sometimes people have that man's wisdom? Well, on the authority of the Bible, it's dangerous because it has demon origin. Be careful. So then he gives us the opposite. Verse 16, though, he continues on. He said, where envy and strife is. Now, you flesh this out in your own mind. I want you to flesh this out in your own mind. Churches are often known for a lot of things. Churches get known for a lot of things. You let a church fight break out, it's on the news, brother. I've seen it on the news. You know, a couple years back, I think it was, two choir members, not our church, another church's, two choir members get in a fight, and one throws battery acid in the face of the other. True story. You let this man's wisdom creep in, and you flesh it out in your own mind, and you think of me in your own mind, maybe churches that you were, I don't know, maybe you were a part of some that was a constant, there was envying and jealousy and arrogance and mean-spiritedness, and from the pulpit, man, preachers just ripping people up down the other, up one side down the other. That's man's wisdom. Look at verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And notice the next statement. And every evil work. So, preacher, what's your point? Churches that rely on man's wisdom, there'll be a lot of sin in those churches. You can mark it down. There'll be a lot of confusion in those churches. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, God is not the author of confusion. Be careful. But now he gives us the opposite. We've looked at the bad part of it. Now we're going to look at the good part of it. I love this. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That's one of my favorite phrases right now. Easy to be entreated means willing to yield. God's wisdom makes us willing to yield. I don't want my will done here at Emmanuel Baptist. I want God's will done. Amen. And if that means if God's will, if we want God's will to be done, and it isn't, maybe God's will doesn't line up necessarily with my preference, or doesn't line up necessarily with you know, kind of how I feel. Let me let you on a little secret. If you pray and ask for God's wisdom, here's what we will do. We'll say, okay, Lord, that may not be my preference, but God, I'm going to yield that to your will. I don't want the devil to use me. I don't want the devil to cause confusion and envy and strife and self-centeredness behavior and seeking to, you know, have people join my side. Look at the rest of verse 17. Man, this is a good verse to try to put the memory, full of mercy. Would to God we stay a church full of mercy, Brother Tommy. That we stay a church that has a merciful type of spirit in it. You say, yeah, but preacher, so-and-so hurt me. Well, I love you, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Don't reach out. Don't go behind their back and badmouth them and run them down and talk about them and tell everybody what they did to you. Go to them. Go to them. I've said for years since I've been your pastor, I've said for years, and I mean this from by my heart, if I've ever done anything to offend you, please come to me. I promise you that. Please come to me. Let me know. Don't run off and talk about us. We can't fix it. And listen to this. We can't fix it, or better yet, we can't repent of it if we don't know we've done wrong. Amen? So let's be open with one another and talk and communicate rather than trying to build sides. Good fruits, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Look at verse 18, we're done. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Notice this next phrase, and you might want to underline it. Of them that make peace. Are you a peacemaker? Well, I hope you are. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I hope you are. I've had over the years, I've had people, honestly, I've had preachers. I've had preachers call me, and preachers do a lot. Hey, did you hear about Brother So-and-so said this about this and this? Many times I've said, honestly, if I know that pastor, I've said this to this other pastors. I'm like, well, I said, brother, you know, I know that man. And I said, he's a good man. And I said, that's a proper assessment. And then I've often and over the years of different situations, I've often done something like this. And this blows them away. When people want to come and gossip to me about something, I've done this. Brother Stephen, this is just so profound. You're going to be, man, that's a profound statement the preacher just said. Here's what I've said to him over the years. I've said to people that want to call and gossip or say something, I'll say, hey, have you talked to that individual? Did you call and talk to them, or did you go see them and talk to them and ask them about this? Well, no, I never talked to them. Oh, so you're entertaining gossip that was brought to you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Are we going to live by man's wisdom? Or are we going to live by God's wisdom? Solomon, very detailed, showed us the opposite of God's wisdom. It's foolishness. I would much rather, my prayer to God, I would much rather have God's wisdom in my life. I'm not saying I've never made bad choices, but I promise you as your preacher, I want God's wisdom. I want the wisdom of God in my life. I want the wisdom of God in our church. I want the wisdom, and I pray for our leaders in our church, and I use that word leader. They hate when I use that word leader. But our deacons, our trustees, Sunday school teachers, those that lead as far as in ministries, they're servant leaders. But I pray, God give them wisdom. Because, Lord, as we lead the church, as a pastor and assistant, and Brother Stephen as an assistant, and deacons, and as we lead, we need your wisdom. We don't want our wisdom. I promise you before the Lord Jesus, and I'll speak on behalf of our deacons tonight. We do not want man's wisdom. We want God's wisdom here. We want the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in everything that we do. We want the wisdom that characterizes itself as peaceful, pure, you know, shows mercy, without hypocrisy, without partiality. We want that kind of wisdom. And we also want to sow peace. We want to be peacemakers. That ought to be our heart. That ought to be our passion. Stand with me, please, for an invitation. Kept you a long time tonight. Didn't intend to do that, but if the Lord's touched your heart and you need to respond, we give you an opportunity. If you're here without Christ, the greatest fool in all the Bible is mentioned in the book of Psalms. It says, a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Please, tonight, if you never trusted Christ your Savior, repent of your sin, call upon God to be your Savior, and by faith believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray about some things that are heavy on your heart. We give you an opportunity to respond. What's your number, Brother Stephen?
Hymn number 567.
567. You come as we sing.